The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We're going to talk about who snores. That's right, who snores. Plus, we're going to look at manly men missing. You ever see those missing posters? Manly men missing. Taking a breaking down approach to the Lord's Prayer and close the whole thing out with a real holy joke.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. See, again, surviving, you're barely surviving. Living, kind of doing all right. Prevailing, yes, sir, that's what I want. We're going to talk about politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, more than you'll want to know. Spiritual observations, more than you'll want to know. And my life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Remember, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience right here. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, we always do a shout out because we're in a business tree. Business tree is a mix between a business and a ministry. You're thinking, well, what are you talking about? Don't they pay you for this? No. I pay for this, and then the sponsors pay me, and then we pay the air together. And the idea is to do this together so we can do our best to advance the kingdom of God as best we understand in this format. So that's why we promote them. And who's our sponsor? We got a new sponsor coming real soon. Actually, three new sponsors coming real soon. But our sponsor right now gets all the props, John.
Big John. Big John.
From the Blessed Roofing Company, theblessedroofingcompany.com. That's the URL. That means that's the website. That means if you go to Google and type in theblessedroofingcompany.com in the address bar, the website will come up. Or if you go to Google and type in the Blessed Roofing Company right in the search portion, it'll come up as well. You can go there, check them out. You can see their mission statement about the company. Or you can just think, you know, I can't remember that. My mind, I'm over 50. I don't remember stuff anymore. A, welcome to the club. B, 469, blessed. 469, blessed. Now, hail season means lots of problems. And lots of problems means lots of inspections. How about free inspections? 469, blessed. Not only do they work on residential, they work on commercial. How about free inspections? Everybody loves free. It's the best department there is. Free. 469, blessed. 469 Blessed, say hi to John, tell him you heard it, here on the David Spoon Experience. Let's get right into it. We do have some other sponsors that are up and coming, getting a chance to meet with a couple of them today. I have had a wonderful opportunity to talk to somebody as well earlier today. This is my, like, four appointment day, plus the show. Plus, I have to finish off something for the master's degree. I have to finish off this one little thing. And it's like, wowzer, what a day. So as I woke up very early this morning, and to me, very early is anything before my wife. And as I woke up very early in the morning and got myself ready and started doing my devotions and got everything together, my wife came in and said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. How you doing? I'm doing great, she said. Wow, we're doing great. And she said, yeah, I woke up about, 1:30 in the morning just for a little bit. I said, oh, yeah, Well, did you go right back to bed? Yeah, almost, she said. Oh, cool. What else happened? Well, you were snoring. First of all, I deny it. I wasn't there. I didn't hear it. I cannot neither verify nor deny. I said, what? She said, no, you were snoring. I said, well, you know, what did it sound like? Now, I'm expecting my wife to tell me you sounded like a buzzsaw. You know. That's what I'm expecting. That's not what she said. She said, you snore lightly. I said, okay. And then she said, you kind of sound like a cartoon. And I said, what? What do you mean? I'm a manly snorer. After all, I'm a manly man. Manly, manly man. No, she said, you sound like a cartoon. You know, it's like you snore with your lips. I was like, what? We've been together a very long time, multiple decades. What does that mean? I sounded like a cartoon. So not feeling as manly as I wanted to feel at the moment, this led me, of course, to reading an article in on an internet site that has occasional articles that talk about, you know, men and women and manly men and womanly women stuff. And I came across this portion that says the following. Men's cuddling group seeks to end toxic masculinity. They want to end toxic masculinity. It's a group in Pennsylvania. There's six of them. Of course, that's worth an article in the paper, isn't it? Six people getting together. And here is the process. You're supposed to hold another man motorcycle style. Okay, first of all, my cartoon snoring is not sounding so bad. This is sounding bad, okay? I don't care if I go whoa, 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 like the Three Stooges. I don't care. That's okay for me. But the idea that toxic masculinity is even in the paper, let's just talk about what an oxymoron is. Jumbo shrimp. That is an oxymoron. What that means is two words together that mean the opposite. Okay, jumbo shrimp. Okay, free discount. There's no such thing as a free discount. It's either discounted or it's free. It's like one or the other, right? Or global warming. Oh, wait, okay, that's kind of like the same thing. Well, here, toxic masculinity is the flavor of the day amongst many, and what it has to do with is men not being men. Now, when we say men not being men, let me tell you what their core teaching is so you can know why this is irritating to me. This is what the founder said. If you show any emotional weakness or vulnerability, that's a failure for your title of a man. And I got to tell you, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, or this guy's living in a box. When my mom died, I cried like a baby. Are you serious? Like that, louder though. Long. She was really close to me. When my dog died, I cried. I was very upset. When things happen emotionally, when my son is 35 years old, that's right. He was in the hospital for the first 2 months. I was not an emotionally stable guy. That's not lacking masculinity, but getting into a group where six of you get together, motorcycle style, and you have to hug each other from behind. That's going to put an end to the emotional misunderstanding for males. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time with this. And let me tell you why. Because of what the scripture says. The scripture doesn't say men can't cry. That's ridiculous. But it does say this in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. I don't know if you ever saw that movie where the guy decides he's going to become everything that the woman wants him to become, and then he becomes a poet, and people come and throw sand in his face, and he goes, I'm just a poet. I'm just, and it's like, even I wanted to throw up. It's like, come on. There's this point where men are men and women are women. And if it's bad that I have to be masculine in order to kill the spider for my wife, too bad. She doesn't like killing spiders. That's up to her. If she wants me to take care of it, I will. The idea that there's a masculinity issue because a man stands up for his woman and is strong in his position, the idea that that's toxic is so bizarre. Let me ask you a question. Does the world want everybody just to be pacifists all the way around? Will that make everybody happy? Because you know who wasn't a pacifist? Uh-oh. Don't do it, Dave. Don't do it! Jesus wasn't a pacifist. Blasphemy. No. See, Jesus took some cords, wound them together, made a whip, went into the temple, turned over the money changers' tables, snapped that whip to drive the animals and the people out. Doesn't come off like a pacifist. Like, everybody get out. This is my father's house. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. He kicked everybody out. That doesn't rank high in a pacifistic type of mindset, because that's not what Scripture calls for. What Scripture calls for is a sensitivity for men and women. I will give you this all day long. God created man, and then he went one better, and he created a woman. I will give you that all day long, and that women are much better at certain elements of caring and loving. I give you that all day long. But don't tell me I have to undo who I am in order to fit into society, because society doesn't like strong, bold men. Do you want us defending a war with people throwing slippers at the other side? What is wrong with you? So this toxic masculinity mentality is just another long line politically correct, ridiculous concept. Do you know, again, and I've told you this before, political correctness, which is actually progressive corruption, is simply man trying to establish his own righteousness apart from God, apart from Jesus Christ, to make himself or herself look good in their own eyes. Here's the response to that. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Did you know that in Proverbs it says the righteous are as bold as a lion? What does that mean? Well, I'm going to go with that doesn't mean everybody gets together and does the motorcycle hug and then just loves on each other and pretends everything's all lilies and daisies. Not working. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, then we'll be back.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey! You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
What can you do?
Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded.
Back to the dust with thee.
The David Spoon Experience.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. I did miss that break. I was long on that. How long was I on that break? Like a minute? I haven't missed a break in like years.
I wasn't paying attention. I was listening to you.
Well, now I feel better.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that doesn't. It's great when you get into the show and then you're just into it. And I think that's really important. I think that there's nothing wrong with men being sensitive. I just think, you know, putting them all in pink is probably not the idea. Just a thought. It's one of those thoughts that I have. Okay. Here you go. Big question. This could be a challenge even for our good friend Leonard. This is going to be a challenge, and I'm telling you right now, it's not as spiritual as you want it to be, but it is pretty intriguing. And then we're going to get into a follow-up from yesterday, and then we're going to get into the Lord's Prayer, which is super, super cool. But just out of curiosity, if you know this, if Peter dug a hole, this is how you spiritualize it. Instead of saying Frank, I'm using Peter as in the Apostle Peter. That's how you make it spiritual. If Peter dug a hole 4 feet by 8 feet in 2 hours, if he dug a hole 4 feet by 8 feet in 2 hours, how long would it take him to dig half a hole? See if you can figure that out. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. You can also watch us on YouTube. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. You can go to davidspoon.com, a bunch of different ways to get around it. 972-445-0770. If Peter dug a hole 4 feet by 8 feet in 2 hours, how long would it take him to dig half of a hole? That's the question. So yesterday we talked a wee bit about Christians and whether or not they're perfect. And I wanted to do a follow-up because I didn't finish because this show's only an hour. And I need like eight per subject. If you think I'm irritating and annoying now, wait for your future when I'm taking over multiple hours. Here we had discussed King David, and remember when King David was guilty before the Lord, he had actually committed several sins. There was at least 12 by what we counted yesterday in regards to setting himself up so he can sleep with Bathsheba and by having Uriah the Hittite killed. And so when he was confronted, he owned that sin. He didn't try and deny it. He didn't try and walk around it. A lot of us might spend a little too much time in the, I don't know, self-justification process where we try and justify our sin. Well, it's this, or it's because of this, or I do this because this person did this, or here's another thing that people do all the time. If only, you know, we do that one a lot. Have you ever done that? Well, if only this would have happened. Or you'll say, but. There's an old saying, don't get mad at me about it, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, it'd be Christmas every day. So it doesn't work that way. You don't get to live by ifs and buts. It's not how it works. And so what we get to understand is David did all these wrong things, and instead of trying to justify it like Saul tried to justify it, he just owned it. Just, yeah, man, I did that. Ooh. It's not that he wasn't saved. It's that he was just really in a bad spot there, and he was breaking apart his own sweet fellowship with the Lord because he was indulged in that sin and not dealing with it. He didn't, you know, it's like as soon as he was called on the carpet, he was like, okay. But I want to talk to you about something that's important, and that is dealing with that sin. What happens then? You know, you deal with that sin and say, you know what, I have sinned against the Lord. I want to make this point because it's really important for people to understand. In 2 Samuel 12:24, this is what it says. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and made love to her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon, and the Lord loved him. David made a big mistake, and it was a disaster. And God called him on the carpet, and he owned it. But as only the Lord can do, the Lord brings good out of bad, hope out of hopeless, light out of darkness, and life out of death. Let me say that again. I want you to hear that. He brings, the Lord alone brings good out of bad, hope out of hopeless, light out of darkness, and life from death. And so, after David acknowledged it, after he went through the process, right? Then the Lord brings a healing balm and really gave him grace and mercy. And it's important to understand that Solomon was a great child. Now, later, Solomon had a lot of problems, and we know that. But in the beginning, he was super-duper terrific. And God took something that was a disaster, David doing horrible things, eventually having Uriah the Hittite assassinated. He just took all of these horrible things, and he just said, watch this. I'm going to rearrange it, retie this entire process. And we know, and people use, I think, Romans 8:28 too quickly, but then the rest of the church dismisses it too quickly. I think there should be a balance there. That in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. I understand it has to do with salvation. But so does each event you go through as God makes you more Christ-like. That has to do with salvation because that's sanctification. And God is weaving into your life things that have even been hard and difficult. You know, you have a couple of books out there. Merlin Carruthers wrote a book, and it's about praising God in all things. And people mock him like, oh, praising God for bad things. First of all, like, that's a bad idea to thank God. Wow, how arrogant. Number two, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in all things give thanks to God, for this is the will of God. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. People are searching for the will of God. A thankful heart is one of those fulfillments of that will. Or just take 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and throw it out. Well, that doesn't mean every circumstance. Okay, but it says that. Okay? It says that. You understand? All right, who we got? We got a caller? Okay, now if I mess this up, call right back. Okay, how'd I do? How am I doing? Am I all right?
You're good. Yeah, I'm on.
Okay. All right, what's happening, brother?
This is Leonard.
Okay, you got an answer for the question? The hole, the 4 feet by 8 feet?
Well, my answer would be 4 by 8 is not a hole. That's a surface dimension. It's not a volume dimension.
That is
so you can't have a hole.
That's that second part. That is it. You got it. Genius, dude. You are a genius.
Okay.
There is no such thing as a half a hole.
Can you have and share half and still have a hole?
Yeah, that's perfect. I love that you caught that. I just absolutely, positively love that you got that. You can't have half a hole.
That's right.
Excellent job. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care. That was great.
those are the things you think that's important.
You can't have half a hole. There you go. Right? You either have a hole in your heart that's filled by the Lord, or you don't. Well, it's halfway filled. Doesn't work. There is no half. All right. So I want to go back to this. So David, you know, he was wrong. And but God was going to work this out in his life. It wasn't that God said, okay, I abandon you. I'm done. I quit. Forget you. Goodbye. You know, the passages that have to do with God being for us. Now, I'm with 99% of everybody where it says if God is for us, he can't be against us. That doesn't mean God is for you in your super duper glow in the dark ant farm that all the ants are, you know, some kind of special thing and you're going to make $1 trillion. I agree. That's not what it's talking about. But when you're going through drama and trauma, God is for you and will work that out. That's the part that people kind of miss. I understand that he might not love your brilliant ant farm, but he loves you, and he's working on that part for you. And that's why you have passages like, you know, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And people go, well, that's not everything. How come every time it says all things, everything, it's not everything? How does that work? Who changes that? I thought God was in on it all. I'm pretty sure. Here's another one. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Well, it's in Christ. Absolutely. But it also says always. So I'm just saying, there's this part that says, look, we don't always do everything right, but God's not sitting there going, oh, they did something wrong. I have to go to Pluto now. I can't talk to that person. That's not how that goes. And right to that half a hole as we're winding it down. Just think of that. You can't have a hole in your heart and have the Lord fill it halfway. There's still a hole there. Get it? I'll be on time for this break, I promise. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a short break. Then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Wow, what a roof. It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Is because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! you have your own commercial whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second commercial whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own commercial whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I will give big props Texas Tech in the Final Four, right? Right? Texas Tech in the Final Four. I will tell you, I was born and raised in Michigan. Michigan State also in the Final Four. So, and then there's that, like, two other teams. Okay, that's all I got on those guys. Facebook, David Spoon Media. Listen, you're always welcome to call the show. YouTube, David Spoon Media. Email, David Spoon Media, Gmail. And website, David Spoon. We actually have a David Spoon Media, but we're working on the site, so you have to wait on that one. You know, I was listening to that little clip on the break part about the 72 virgins and 73, and I know people get offended, but listen, there's a grand truth that is escaping people for whatever reason, and I wish I would have elaborated more clearly as I am reflecting on when I had shared about that. You know, there's a faith out there that says, you know, your heaven will be 72 virgins, and then, you know, that's what heaven. And it's like, first of all, my heaven, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for him, for them. So the idea is that my mind, my heart cannot conceive of how great heaven is. So whatever I conceive of, heaven is greater. It's not complex. It's if my mind can't comprehend it, my heart can't seize it, my eyes can't see it, I can't hear it, I can't grasp it because heaven is beyond that. So therefore, what my mind can see, heaven is greater. Because it can't even enter my mind. So when I sit there and think of, you know, planet chocolate, I mean, come on. That's a much better hope. And heaven's going to be better than that. If you like golf, planet golf. 9,683,221 par. One hole. The whole planet. Like, oh, wow. It's like, how cool is that? Like, you actually have permission from the Lord to use heaven and the future in our lives as a hope. It's like, good, maybe we should use it. People say, oh, we have the mind of Christ. Yeah, but half of us don't use it, so it doesn't really matter. And I will say this, I adore my wife, but I, for her, am a ton of work. And she, for me, ton of work. We're a ton of work for each other. Can you imagine that 72 times? I say, that is not heaven. I say, they're going to HE double hockey sticks place. 72 times over, I gotta do this. Take the trash out, take the trash out, take the trash out, take the trash out, take the trash out. Now, if I keep doing that 72 times, is that gonna be irritating? Right? Come on, work with me. You know I'm right. All right, Lord's Prayer. We're gonna get into the Lord's Prayer. I love this. This is one of my favorite teachings that takes place. I just do a quick examination of the words in the Lord's Prayer. It's an expository preaching. The difference between topical and expository, it's not as big as they try and make it. What they'll do is they'll say, oh, we're going to do a book, you know, one sentence at a time, one line at a time. And then they'll say, see, so it's got to be, you know, built upon this. Well, first of all, they're still choosing what book to teach, which tells you it's more topical than they're admitting. And then the second thing is that Jesus taught topically. If you don't think so, just look at the Sermon on the Mount. He covers 9 topics in the first chapter 5, in chapter 5 alone. 9. It's like, well, that's how it goes. And it doesn't matter. It's not bad, indifferent. It's not like it should be this way. It should be, hey, whatever works. As long as you're jumping in the Word, awesome. As long as you're in the Word, fantastic. You don't have to die to defend that. If people like topical and other people like expository, it's great. That's going to be a choice. That's not something the Lord, oh, well, you know what they did in Nehemiah? Well, also in Nehemiah, when you're talking about that passage, they all stood up when the word was opened up. They all sat down, and they sat out in the rain for hours. I don't see anybody doing that. So let's not push it too far. The Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, says this, Our Father. Can we start right there and just stop? We can do the rest of the show on this first two words. You know what it doesn't say? My Father, who art thou in heaven. That's not, it doesn't say that. My Father, who art thou in heaven. Now, you say that in your personal prayer, but when Jesus was given the guidelines for prayer, he opened it up by saying, Our Father. Not mine only. So we do need to expand our world. There is way too much tightness in the Christian faith that just says, oh, it's just our group. It's just our group. It's just our group. You are one part of the body. The body is bigger than you. God is bigger than you. So you have to understand, our Father. And a father, by the way, there's gender blowback from God being the Father. Well, he doesn't actually identify himself as a father. Boy, it's tough when you read something like Zechariah and he identifies himself as a father four times, isn't it? It's tough when he identifies himself as a father about 132 times throughout Scripture, isn't it? A father is a protector, a provider, a caretaker, dependable. You don't think God is those things? Well, he's got very mothering qualities. Well, he created moms. It's not like he doesn't have capacity, but he identifies himself as a father, an overseer, a protector, a caretaker. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Nothing is wrong. It's great. It's awesome. He's just not a lousy father. So it's not our lousy father in heaven. Okay? That's not what it is. Just stop doing that. It's our Father. And I do want to point this out. It's our Father. Prayer goes to God. Our Father. I don't pray to anybody but to my Father. Why? Because that's what Jesus showed us clearly. Our Father. Bam. Jesus is my intercessory between me and the Father. He's the one that makes peace between me and God the Father. I don't need a third. I'm still working on the first. It's like, come on. Our Father in heaven. Uh-oh. Here's the problem here. We all think our world is heaven. Well, let me rephrase that. We all think our world is the center of the universe. That's better said. Well, Scripture's pretty clear. Heaven is the real center of the universe, and it's not your life. I know it seems like all the universe revolves around us in the sense of individuals, but not so much. It's bigger. God is bigger. The whole thing is bigger. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed is hagestheto. 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 Let me get that wrong. It means reverence, adoration, devotion, and worship in this particular case. There is cases where there is fear and reverence and trembling before the Lord. It's just not right here. So what you got is you have the identifying the Father, you have identifying his location, center of the universe, and then you have the first thing, reverence, adoration, devotion, and worship. That, by the way, for those that don't know, that's praise. It's like, hey, you're fantastic. Now, trying to butter God up doesn't work, so going, hey, you're looking thin, and oh my, what a sunset that was the other day, that doesn't work. But actual reverence, actual adoration, actual devotion, actual worship of praise and thanksgiving and appreciation, that is the beginning of prayer. And when people say, that's, this method here that Jesus gave, this model that Jesus gave, it's not an exact science. He's not requiring everybody to do it exactly this way. He's giving us a model. All right, here's the model. Our Father, not my Father, in heaven, real center of the universe, praise and worship and honor to you. Got it. Hallowed be your name. A name reflects a person's attributes, more so in the past than in the current. But there's several names for God, and there's several attributes that God has, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all-loving. But you haven't got through, you've got through five words, or eight words. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Eight words. We should be changing the way that we approach our Heavenly Father. Now, some people get really uptight and You gotta smack yourself on the back and throw ashes on your head. You know what? There is a time for that. And there's other times where you get to talk to him like Abba Father. And then there's other times where he's closer than a brother. And you gotta say, man, I'm dying here. It's all okay. Because when you're praying, you're talking to God. And God's not like, well, you can only talk to me this way. Here's what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't insult God, but I would be, you know, like, here's a concept. Straightforward and honest, since he knows what's in your heart anyway. Sometimes I look up to God and I go, what are you doing? And don't tell me you don't do that. You do too. Oh, but I trust him. Yeah, that part of me that's good and the Lord trusts him. Then that other part of me that's freaking out, running around like a chicken with his head cut off, that part not so much. And I'm trying to reconcile it all as a child of the Most High God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Here's the biggest problem. I could do 10 shows on this. Your kingdom come. Well, let me tell you about my world, God. That's how we pray. Oh, Father, I do think you're fantastic. Let me tell you what's going on in my life. As though he didn't know. Because he's not aware. It's funny because Jesus uses the model, hey, this is about God's work first, not your work first. I get to come before the Lord and say, whatever for your kingdom, not whatever for my radio show. Do you see that difference? What do you got, about a minute? 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I can keep going for a little bit. See, that's what happens when you pay for it. Your kingdom come. This particular one, your kingdom come. See that your kingdom come? That's the future reign of God. That's not the current reign. That's the future reign. Now, how do we know that that's the future reign? Watch. Your kingdom come. It's the future. Bring that to the current, but it's talking about the your kingdom come. This way. Come this way. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the current reign. So right off the bat, right in the beginning, we have the future reign and the current reign of God, the kingdom of God in relationship to our prayer style. And what's amazing is that we're still half the time always about us. Lord, let me tell you about my bills. He knows about your bills. But we're supposed to be praying about his current and future kingdom first. And when we come back, we'll look at the rest of this. It's a lot of fun to break it down this way. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770 here in Texas. Don't go anywhere. Just as I am, you reach
down and see you. Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, our amps are louder. Because you see, ours, normally an amp goes from 1 to 10, see? But ours, they go to 11, see? So ours are one more. They're louder, see? So you turn them all the way to 11, all the way up. They're louder.
I have saved the best for the last, because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
The David Spoon Experience. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored. Impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I can't believe how fast this hour goes. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Julie's back there going, it ain't that fast, Dave. It's just another hour and a long day, buddy.
Yeah, I get up at 3 a.m. So.
Yeah, that's really early.
Yeah.
That is way too early. I am glad I am me. That's all I'm going to go with there. Facebook, email, David Spoon Media, website, davidspoon.com, YouTube, David Spoon Media, blah, 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 blah. Okay, got that. Let's get back to the Lord's Prayer. So we talked about our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's our Father, not my Father, in heaven, the real center of the universe, hallowed, which is praise, reverence, adoration, devotion, be your name, reflecting his attributes, your kingdom come, the future reign, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the current reign. And then we get into the rest of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day, give. We can't work for this. It's God's generosity. You can't go to the Lord and say, give us because I earned it. It's not how it works. Not salvation, not anything else God is doing. He gives because he's a giver. And again, it's funny because it says, give us this day our daily bread. Not a lot of individualism there. Give us. It's a family prayer. By the way, versus a corporate prayer, this give us our daily bread is a family entreaty versus a corporate setting. So you can't work for it. You got to say, Lord, please give it to us. Be appreciative of what he does give you, not complaining about what he didn't give you. Let's say God gave you 10 things. Yeah, what about the other 90? Well, that's a problem in our lives. Give us this day. Give us this day. Prayer needs to be an everyday exercise. Not give us this month. Give us this 5 seconds I have for you. Give us in between this spot and this spot. Give us this day. I don't know. How often do you need bread? Every day. Okay, you get it? It's not, this is, give us this day, our daily bread. It says it twice, this day and daily. And our daily bread, by the way, bread's a staple, not a luxury. So when you say to the Lord, please help me with transportation, that's totally okay. When you say, Lord, please help me with transportation, I require it to be a black and red Ferrari, that is not okay. See, one is a staple, and one is just a desire, a luxury. All right? So give us this day our daily bread. And then it says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. I want you to recognize where this is placed in the model that Jesus set up. Forgive us our debts. Now, it's not dollar debts. It's moral debt. Because when you sin, you owe God. Because why? Well, why would I owe God if I sin? Because he created you. That's why. You're looking for all these big fancy answers. Wrong. He created you. You owe him. But he asks, he says in the model, forgive us our debts. And for people that get hung up on receiving forgiveness, this comes after you're asking for daily bread. You can ask the Lord, you know, I really need help in this financial situation. And I really need you to guide me. And I really need you to kind of like, you know, walk me through, right? That comes before, hey, forgive me. Why? Because through Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In sanctification, it's more of a washing for your sake than anything else. Forgive us after listed after our needs for those who are hung up on this. And you can't earn this. You got to receive this. So forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Forgiving others is in response to forgiveness from God. Now watch this. And it's based on a decision, not a feeling. Guess what you won't do? You won't walk your Christian walk and go, I feel like now is the time to extend forgiveness. Guess why that's wrong? Because you're basing that decision on your feelings. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Taco Bell, and I want you to eat 36 Rancho Dorito tacos, 25 chalupas, and 14 burritos, and 16 Mountain Dews, and tell me you feel the love of God. I bet you don't feel that way. I bet you feel like your stomach is going to fall out of your body. Yet the love of God is still constant and true, isn't it? You don't base it on your feelings. And forgiveness is a decision you make, not a feeling that you have. And it says, as we also forgive our debtors, our family, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, our strangers. And lead us not into temptation. This word in the Greek is actually to pierce with a sword. It's the word testing is better in translation. I mean, you can get mad all you want, but it's more of a testing like Abraham was tested. And I think people don't do this. People don't go, don't test me. Don't quiz me. I'm not in a very quizzy mood. Help me out. And you can pray, hey, you know, I'd like to take a pass on this. That doesn't mean God will say yes. You can ask him. You can ask the Lord for anything. He can just say no. But deliver us from the evil one. Now, why is that important? Because Christians go about their entire Christian walk and forget that Satan is real. That the death on the cross is a redemption from Satan's grip on the world into the hands of God through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And for some reason, because in 2019, it's not social media hip to think that Satan is real, which is amazing because I promise you in 10 more years, it'll be completely hip to be talking about spirits and angels and stuff. It'll reverse because it always does. But you as a Christian, you need to just stay alert. Satan doesn't like you, period. You are not his friend. He does not think of you highly. He despises you. His desire is to make war with you. His desire is to neutralize you. He desires passionately to hurt you. It's not like Satan's asking that much permission from God to go bounce on somebody who's rebellious against God. He's asking permission for those who are close to God. Job did a good job, was really close to God. I want to rip Job apart, Satan said. Okay, not in so many words. You know what I'm saying. Oh, you put a hedge about him. Let me go after him. He wanted to rip Peter apart. Where was Peter? One of the close three to Jesus out of the 12, Peter, James, and John. If you're close, he wants to rip you apart. And then at the end, it says, for yours is the kingdom and power and glory. When Jesus is closing the prayer, as he's closing out, so deliver us from the evil one. Be alert. The enemy hates you. Stay on top of that. For God's is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Remember, it's about glory to God, not for your comfort. I know it's so hard to pray, and it's hard not to think of our comfort in the process. I understand that. I go through that. But there still has to be this focus on what the Lord wants, not just on what we want. So when Jesus gives this model, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's about the future and current reign of God. Give us this day our daily bread. We can't earn it. We need your help. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Help us to make the right decision to extend forgiveness. Lead us not into temptation. Keep us away from testing, Lord. Deliver us from the evil one. Keep our eyes open for what Satan's going to try and do. It's all your kingdom, your power, yours is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. All the glory to you. there's, what is that, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. It's five verses. Isn't that a lot in there? That's a lot in there, right? Well, guess what? He wrote it for you as a gift. So you can use it as a gift. Because that's what he wants from you. Isn't it amazing that God says, hey, when you're going to pray, you kind of use this model, this will draw it in better. Not so much he cares. I just want you to catch that. Some things are better caught than taught. This is all because the Lord's just trying to help you. He's always trying to help you. He's not trying to hurt you. If he wanted to hurt you, he could hurt you. If he didn't care about you, he wouldn't have invested so much into you. Okay? It's really important to get that. Go read it. Read it yourself. Take the time. It's only five verses. Spend the time in the Word. It's a good thing to do. You know what I'm saying? It's a powerful thing. All right. We're at less than a minute. I think we're at,
About 1.5.
About 1.5. All right. So don't forget to keep us in prayer as well. I got some meetings today. Excited about some new sponsors and doing some different things. And, you pray that it's exactly what the Lord wants. We had meetings earlier today. It's all about doing what the Lord wants the best we can. We're not going to do this perfect. Okay? I mean, I don't know if you think, oh, they're just going to cut this radio thing perfectly. This is going to go flawlessly. Obviously, you're not listening to our show. I didn't even realize YouTube doesn't even pick up the sound until somebody told me that the other day. Doesn't pick up the sound on the in-betweens. Oh, well, who cares? But I do the best I can. And you should be too, and we should be doing it together to the glory of God, right? Right. Okay, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we're going to come back with more Insanity with Spoonanity. God bless.
Destroying everyone. And everything we find keeps the hungry giant.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.